The Money Show.
Business Unusual with Colin Cullis.
The story of a 15-year-old who's making the world sit up and listen, Colin Cullis.
Yeah, from the 3rd of January, 16. So Greta Thunberg is now 16.
How you say it.
Yeah, well, that's how she says it.
That must be the right way. Yeah. Greta Thunberg.
Yes. She is from Sweden and doesn't like talking, does not want to meet world leaders, hates publicity. In the last 12 months, she's spoken twice in front of the UN, World Economic Forums. She's managed to get the world's largest gathering of people together for a climate-related protest ever. And they refer to this as the Thunberg effect, the Greta Thunberg effect specifically. So I thought, let me try and explain a little bit about how in 12 months a 16-year-old could have that much impact and ultimately what it is she wants us to do. And the starting point, I suppose, is if a 16-year-old gets climate change, why is it that everybody else still seems to struggle with it so much? And the deal does relate specifically to her in that when she first heard about climate change, she was 8 years old. The school had done some documentaries and they played it for the kids. And she was very deeply affected by it, something which they didn't realize at the time, but was inherent in her and how she deals with things. It was some years later, age 11, she had started eating less and pretty much stopped talking. Her parents were very concerned, took her to doctors, and the doctors had said, listen, we've actually found she has OCD issues. She has Asperger's, which is sort of along the autism spectrum for issues, and selective mutism, which means if she doesn't feel compelled to talk, she will not speak. And when they tried to determine, well, what caused this? What was the issue? They found that a factor of it was probably her exposure to what the reality of climate change in her mind appeared to be. And the disbelief she had.
It's almost like a post-traumatic stress disorder, I suppose. I mean, a version of something like that. So stressed out by this brutal reality that she's envisaging that she just started to shut down.
Yes, and in part, because it's sort of they describe it as a superpower. The fact that she has been able to focus so much on the impact that climate change will have versus the rest of us, you'll tell us something terrible, say, oh, that's shocking. I can't believe it. Oh, look, there's a squirrel. We have that ability to compartmentalize and not fully appreciate what's going on. One of the challenges she has is being able to compartmentalize, but it's also one of the things that has given this laser focused. She doesn't mince her words. She is very frank. She is not seeking all the accolades and stuff like that. So as a way to assist her, they suggested she talk or write about the particular issue, which she did, and wrote in for a newspaper competition, an essay about climate change, which was selected as the best essay. She then started working with some other local groups who had suggested she maybe try and organize a strike of some sorts. This was just after the mass shooting protest that the US kids had organized, and she thought that would be a good idea. She felt so inarticulate about the inaction that was happening, that she figured if she could do something, then it feels like something might change. The first part that she started was with her own parents. Her mom is a very accomplished and successful opera singer. Her dad is an actor and now a writer. He's been writing about their actual experiences. And both of them had undertaken to stop eating meat because this was one of the elements that are unsustainable with our current setup. Her mom also had frequent bookings to go and sing outside of Sweden. And she undertook to stop performing outside of Sweden because invariably would require her to use an aircraft. And it has become a thing in Sweden and many other places, this flugskam. I probably messed that up completely, but
the flugskam, the shame of flying, yeah.
And I understand in some reports that Swedish passenger numbers are down 5%. And this is, you know, we're talking only a couple of years worth of influence. So there definitely has been a timing thing with a person and a personality that has really just met each other. And it all came to sort of the specific point, the point at which most of us can track this back to the starting point, was on the 20th of August last year. In undertaking to do a strike and inviting some of her classmates to come along, which they thought, I'm not quite sure they're up for that, she undertook on that day, Friday the 20th of August, to pop down to the local parliament and to say, I'm going to do a strike for the climate, and be here every day, every school day, during school hours, in order that people will see, I want to see action done, and you are the ones responsible for it. And when I said she's kind of frank with the way she talks, and this at the time was a 15-year-old girl, yes. Permit me to read the actual tweet she posted on that day.
This does come with a language warning because she was quite unequivocal. So if you're a little bit delicate, it's not a bad word. People use it all the time. But there's a word that may offend you.
Yes, and it is via Google Translate from the original Swedish. We children usually do not do what you tell us to do. We do what you do. And since you adults shit in my future, so do I. I strike for the climate until election day. And so the reason she had argued that it was worth her while not going to school, not getting the education during the period that she was going to be striking, was because if her future was looking so bleak and the supposed educated people were not able to focus their minds and do something about it.
What is the value of the education in the first place? I don't need that if I'm going to be dead by the time I'm 20, sort of thing.
Yeah. Exactly right. And you know, it's wonderful how even in those dark moments where terrible things can happen, good things can come from it. And certainly the fact that we're talking about it, that was the starting point for it. But the way she wrote her specific sign and the font, her handwriting basically, the font she used, somebody's actually replicated. So you can now use the Greta font in writing up your own signs. And this did culminate on the 20th September this year with that massive sort of global strike. It was 7 days, people all around the world. Here in South Africa, were over 18 different locations that people took part. 4 million is the expected number of people who turned out. 4,000 or something events organized. And some of the posters there were also very clever. One, for example, was somebody just holding up a thing that said, if you're waiting for a sign, this is it. And then one that I did think was quite clever. A person standing, and you had to look very carefully because they were in a crowd and they were holding a very small poster. And on it, it simply said, use less paper. So they were certainly very good.
No, but people are getting very, very clever and creative with the climate change protests. But, I mean, are protests good enough really to change policy and change the way we live? We go to the protest today and on the way home, I don't know, we drive in a V8 or whatever the case is. We've still got lots of bad habits that need addressing. I suppose consciousness is the first part of any successful reformation of a person in a country's attitude.
It is, and in part I think where she's succeeding is rather than making it about her, which often it is, and you know, people are wanting to say, you know, Greta for president, all these other things, says, hey, it's not about me. This is about the leaders. In fact, in a February interview she gave to the Financial Times, she had this to say, people tell me that they are so hopeful when they see me and other children school striking, and they say, oh, the children are going to save us. But no, we aren't. We are too young to be able to do that, and we don't have time to grow up and fix this in the future. The people who are in power now need to fix this now. So taking a leaf out of her book and not wanting to just make it all about her. In fact, I should have told you, she does have a sister, a 14-year-old, 2 years younger. She also has some OCD and other things that are diagnosed like that. But that too, she has not let it limit her. She's a dancer and a singer. She's published and features in a book that's apparently done quite well in Sweden on bullying. So a very accomplished family, very highly supported by their parents, kind of marvelous in terms of what they're letting them do. But I did think it was also important to do some actual things about the climate. And so ahead of the show, I asked a question about the greenhouse gases, just to try and illustrate how complex the subject can be and how sometimes we don't fully appreciate how this all comes together. So I asked, which greenhouse gas has the greatest impact on our climate? And I gave you four options, which were, and I just need to quickly go and open those up, carbon dioxide, methane, water vapor, and sulfur hexafluoride.
Let me have a go at this because it's universally, I think, accepted that carbon dioxide is the bad guy. Methane is what predominantly cows produce, and that's why we thought if we're growing lots of beef and lots of windy cows, that's ultimately devastating for the environment. Water vapor, no. And what's dextrobutter?
Sulfur hexafluoride.
Well, I don't know what that is, so it must be that.
So that is using perfect logic for somebody who has, like, you know, just enough information to sort of get yourself into trouble.
I would say carbon dioxide because that is universally accepted, but just because you chucked sulfur dioxide in there, I'll take that.
Okay, so here's the complexity and then your genius. Sulfur hexafluoride is a very damaging greenhouse gas. It's pretty much only comes from us. It doesn't occur in the atmosphere. So any of it that's in the atmosphere came from us. It is incredibly effective at dispersing infrared radiation, which is what greenhouse gas effects are. Take the heat radiated off from the Earth and disperse it back into the atmosphere, effectively warming the air, keeping the Earth warm, rather than letting it just radiate off into space.
Gotcha.
But carbon dioxide is a lot more abundant, and it occurs mostly from our sort of additional emissions along with all natural ones. Methane is slightly less prevalent and mostly does come from agriculture. It is a more impactful gas too, but doesn't occur in the same volumes. So carbon dioxide is technically the correct answer given the volume and the amount of impact it has on the environment. But it is not the most abundant greenhouse gas because that is by a long, long way water vapor.
You see, now, unbefuddle me.
Right. You then need to start with what's in the air. In the air is 78% nitrogen, 20% oxygen, non-greenhouse gases.
Right.
That's almost 98% of the Earth's composition right there. Almost 1% is argon. I didn't go into the two decimal places here, but let's say 99% of the air is taken up by things that aren't going to cause any problems. So all the problems are caused by effectively something in the dry atmosphere, they call it, consisting of less than 1%. And the bulk of that is carbon dioxide, 0.04% as it currently stands, which is, it's nothing. Easy for people to say, well, I'll just dismiss it as not being a big deal. But in the wet atmosphere, as it were, water vapor is between 0 and 3% of the entire atmosphere. Water vapor can disperse infrared radiation. And it's had a cycle for doing that all along. When you live in warm climates with lots of humidity, you know it's hot. Wendy sitting in Durban will know that it's nice and warm there versus sitting in Johannesburg in the middle of winter when the sky's not blue because there's no humidity. So at night, the temperatures drop dramatically versus when there's lots of water vapor in it. Now, when you heat up the air through carbon dioxide emissions, then the oceans warm and the air warms and you can get more air into the more water into the air. That then compounds the whole cycle. In some respects, we've had a lovely little balance because the warm air will rise, the water will turn into clouds. Clouds are fantastic at bouncing the sun's rays off, and it rains back down. What we don't know, though, and this is the bit why it's important to work what we can on carbon dioxide so we can't fix the other ones, is the degree to which that positive feedback loop for putting more and more water into the atmosphere and heating it up will have as a disastrous effect for the rest of us. This is what got Greta so upset. And I don't want to upset you now, but at least I want you to let know, wow, this stuff is complicated. Anybody who gives me simple, easy-to-understand answers don't understand the complications, and I should do a little more to understand how it all does work.
Be more like Greta.
Be more like Greta.
There we go. Colin Cullis, thank you. Business Unusual, fascinating as always. Colin Cullis demystifying some of the more complex issues of the world and also introducing us a little bit more detail to Greta Thunberg.